My dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Whether you realize it or not, you just made a confession. A confession of faith that not even those first disciples could make on that first Easter evening. And I heard it just now coming from your lips. Jesus is risen. But where did those words come from? From your mouth. Who put those words in there? Do you ever think about that? I mean, do they come from your intellect, from your reason, because all the facts have added up to an obvious conclusion? Or is it because you were brought up that way? This is the confession of your parents and your grandparents. And so you're simply repeating that which you've heard all of your life. Or is it a confession of guilt? Because if you don't say that Jesus is risen, well, bad things might happen to you, right? Or is it out of fear? Fear of disappointment. You'll disappoint someone. Your parents, your spouse, a friend, your pastors, or your Sunday school teacher. Thank God for those disciples, down-to-earth men who frankly just didn't get it. And thank God for Jesus, who meets his disciples right where they're at, locked in a room full of fear about where their future is heading, weak in faith. I would like to think that I would do better under those circumstances. What about you? Do you think that you would do any better? I mean, left to our own reason and left to our own strength, wouldn't we be right there with those disciples in that room, making sure that door is locked and being frightened, feeling abandoned, alone, without hope? But that's how it is with everyone who was left here on this earth to face life in this world alone, and even facing eventually death itself, apart from faith in Christ. Our weaknesses get exposed. Our fears take hold of us, don't they? And it's every man for himself. Survival is the name of the game. I mean, look at Peter and John. They actually went to the tomb, and with their own eyes, they saw that it was empty. And what was their response? The scriptures tell us they didn't believe that Jesus was risen because they, of all places, went back home. They didn't understand what had happened and what the scriptures have said about Jesus, the Messiah, who must suffer and die and be raised again from the dead. These are the same disciples, mind you, that were with Jesus on that mount when he was transfigured before their eyes. And these two disciples were those that were with him throughout his whole earthly ministry for 3 years, seeing all the wonders and signs that he performed. I mean, they saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead with his just words from his mouth, "Come forth." And just 3 days earlier, they heard Jesus tell them what must happen to him, that he was going away, but that he would be back again. And what did they do? They went home in unbelief. And we find them that evening locked in a room with the other disciples, crouched in fear. So what would Jesus do? Or better yet, what did Jesus do? He met them right where they were. He shows up right in the middle of that room, putting himself right in the midst of their fear and all of their unbelief. And what does he say? Peace be with you. Peace. Not a scolding, but a word of forgiveness. Not a word of condemnation. Peace be with you. Because Jesus, he knew their fears, and he understood their weaknesses. And they rejoiced when they saw their risen Lord. And when they heard those words come into their ears, peace be with you. And this very same Jesus is here this morning in our midst, just as he promised. And he knows your fears, and he knows your weaknesses. He knows your sins that you try to hide, your sins that bring you shame and hurt others, those around you, your sins that you can't seem to overcome, that drag you down and even cause you to question your faith and your faithfulness, to question God's forgiveness. Will God even forgive this? To doubt his grace. But Jesus is here this morning, standing in the midst of sinners, and he says, peace be with you. This peace that Jesus gives is not the same peace that the world offers you. That peace will always fail in the end. The world is powerless to deliver on that promise, to promise peace from war, to promise financial security and stability, to provide cures and treatments for the overcoming of your diseases and your illnesses, to put the broken pieces of a marriage or a family back together again. The peace that Jesus gives is not the peace that the world tries to give you. The peace that Jesus gives doesn't make all the troubles of this life go away. It doesn't. But it does give us hope in the midst of all the chaos of this life. Jesus himself said, "In this world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world." And Jesus, our Lord, hung on a bloody cross to overcome what you and I cannot overcome, our sin. And he rose 3 days later to overcome what you and I cannot overcome, our death. Death itself. And this is why Jesus can say to all those who trust in his saving death and resurrection, that he says to you this morning, "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I have overcome the world." Jesus has overcome your sin. He's overcome all that frightens you. And yes, he has even overcome your death. If only we could have something tangible to cling on to. To remind us of what Jesus has done for us when we doubt, or when we're gripped by fear, or our faith becomes weak and frail. Thank God for Thomas. Thomas has gotten a bad rap over all these years, being labeled Doubting Thomas, as if he were the only one who doubted our Lord's words when he spoke about his death and resurrection. Didn't all the other disciples lock themselves in that room in despair? At least Thomas was honest. He was bold. "Unless I see his hands, the marks of the nails, and place my finger into the marks of those nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." What's our Lord going to do with such faithlessness? He did what he does every Sunday morning for you and for me. He comes to us and places himself right here in our midst. Jesus present in the midst of sinners. Not an imaginary Jesus, not a spiritualized Jesus, not a Jesus that we imagine and conjure up in our minds, but real God and real man, Jesus, here with you and with me, in the midst of real men and real women who struggle to remain faithful. Jesus comes to us just as we are. And he says, it's okay. I understand. I understand your weakness. I know about your faithlessness. I too have faced the temptations that you face. And I have experienced and have seen the fears that you fear. And all of these I have nailed to my cross. I have overcome them by my death, my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. And so he beckons Thomas to come and place his fingers and his hands into his wounds. He says, Thomas, do not be an unbeliever, but believe. And believe he does. And out of Thomas's mouth comes the wonderful confession, my Lord and my God. And what about us who have never seen our Lord? How does he come to us, to you and to me? What does he do for us when ourselves, we find ourselves doubting and weak in faith, feeling helpless and alone? What does he do? Blessed are you, Jesus said, who do not see and yet believe. And we know that we can't, by our own reason and our strength, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or to come to him. So what does Jesus do? Well, he comes to you this morning. And he calls you to believe in all that he has won for you through his cross and resurrection. And he gives you the faith, the living and saving faith, to cling to all of Jesus' promises and his gifts to you that he hands over to you even this very morning. He works repentance in your hearts to turn from your sin. He puts the confession of sin upon your lips to admit what you know to be true. He puts the words of absolution into your ears to wash you clean from your sin, truly, really forgiving all of your sins. Blessed are you who have been baptized, who God has adopted as his child and has clothed you in his righteousness. You have put on Christ. Blessed are you who are fed with Jesus' own true body and blood, himself feeding you for real, true forgiveness for real sinners. And all of these he freely gives to you this very morning. His word coming to you and working in you what we ourselves can't do. Giving us faith to believe in the one whom God has sent to set us free from sin and death. To give us life, a life of peace in a world full of tribulation. He turns our sorrow into joy. And he sends you out again into this world to serve your neighbor and to love. And to share the good news of life in his name. Freely you have received, so freely give. And Jesus goes out with you, never leaving you, never forsaking you. And whatever you may face, however you may struggle, Jesus' words will never, ever change. and they will never fail. He comes to you with loving compassion, and he says, do not be troubled, and do not be afraid. Peace I give to you. Peace I leave with you. In the name of Jesus, amen.